Hey, and welcome back. We watched stuff number 76. Getting closer and closer to number 100, which we should reach next year sometime. So I guess it's not that close. Anyways, I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end. Good evening this time, my friend. What's going on?
Nothing much. I ended up working a half day today because I had a horrible migraine. I think it came from between going to chiropractor on Monday and getting a massage yesterday. I started having a headache around 7. I went to sleep early. I went to sleep around probably like quarter after 9. Woke up at 4 and haven't been back to sleep since.
And I just got done with my workout complaining about my back. So, yeah, this is the official old man edition of the show. Now, I used to get terrible headaches after going to the chiropractor. I think that's what did it.
Yeah, I'm guessing that. Either between that and a combo of getting a massage and the lady thinking massaging my skull would be a good idea after going to the chiropractor.
That's weird.
Yeah, so, but on the good side, I'm definitely a fan of pedicures. Now I'm mad I work with all these women and they never told me how good pedicures felt. So
it was funny, before the wedding, I asked Kevin, I was like, dude, you ever done a pedigree? Which actually, no, Kevin has not done a pedigree, but he has been on the opposite end of one. Pedicure, and like manicure, I was thinking of doing that for the wedding. And he's like, yeah, dude, it was pretty relaxing. I was like, I was joking. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. But then I went to lunch with somebody, so that got in the way. So that didn't happen, which I'm thankful for, because I figure if I would have gone to get a manicure or pedicure or whatever, something would have gone wrong. Like, everything the day of the wedding worked out perfectly. So
you didn't want to jinx it. Yeah, so, oh, I loved mine. It lasted about maybe an hour, because I think I got, like, the full package and everything. Although, you should have seen the look on my face when they brought a cheese grater out. I'm like, what the hell are they going to use that for? And then they start using it on my damn feet. I'm like, are you serious? Like, is this like a Chris Tucker skit that I'm... camera going on? Like, this seemed like a Rush Hour deleted scene. So,
yeah, no. I used to have one of those... we'll get through the girl talk in a second. But I used to have one of those shaver, like, you know, you call it the cheese grater, but they actually have like an electric one or a battery operated one. I used to run over like the back ends of my heels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They work. I don't even know what happened to it, but then I, you know, just didn't care anymore either, because why bother? But yeah, so that's that. So hopefully you're still with us. I don't know. What do you want to lead off with? There's like two big stories and then some little stuff. And one happened right after we recorded last week, the day after, usual. And then the other was obviously this Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's really two and a half big stories. One that happened. Yeah, definitely the one that happened right after. We kind of joked about that when it happened. And that's basically the trailer for Logan dropping.
Well, there's that. Yeah, and also, which I don't think we touched on it last week, even though I put it in the write-up, Guardians of the Galaxy put out their teaser trailer too.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be before Doctor Strange, which is funny enough, that's next weekend.
Yeah, it's already out overseas, so we're getting it after other people.
Yeah, doesn't Marvel usually do that for some reason?
It depends on the movie. Sometimes we get it first, and sometimes Great Britain gets it first, or China gets it first. I think it's kind of weird how they do that. It's like really no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, because didn't the UK got Star Wars first, right? Force Awakens. I thought they got like Monday or something.
Yeah, they got it first.
I don't get that. Do movies come out on Mondays there?
I don't know. Like, I know tradition, like James Bond movies that always came out in Great Britain first. Well, I guess it's just a whole American centric thing. Like, we're used to getting stuff first and everybody else getting it either later or everybody getting it at the same time, or it's the one like we get it, then UK gets it, then China gets it, then South America, where it's like every month somebody different gets it. But I'm guessing it's people smarter than us that tracks those type of things that determines why they would do that. The only thing you worry about is when someone else gets it first and then you have to duck spoilers.
Yeah, well, that especially in this case with Doctor Strange, you know, it's another thing where I keep seeing the commercials for it, but I haven't seen too many write-ups about it. So I'm wondering now, that's probably going to be start up again.
Yeah, I've seen a few reviews. Most of them have been good to very good. So, but I've been avoiding the reviews actually.
Well, you know, I'm looking and they come out on Fridays there too, so I don't know what the deal is. But yeah, I'm avoiding any reviews of Doctor Strange. Again, the more we talk, like when I was hitting you up about Flash last night, and then you'll talk about stuff Marvel, and I just realized I don't know much about Marvel, like the fringe B, lower or upper B, lower A characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know much. I know Doctor Strange was a surgeon, and he's a Sorcerer Supreme. And that's really all I know.
I mean, that's all most people know, unless you really read Doctor Strange, because he's never really been a part. He hasn't had, like, a presence in anything. Like, he might pop up on, like, a cartoon here and there, like, on the old Iron Man cartoons, or, like, the new Avengers cartoons. But beyond that, it's one of those things where I have the advantage, because you're a DC guy. I know, like, the big stuff about DC, but I don't know any of the minutia like you do. I'm more of a Marvel guy, so I know it's kind of like reverse. And then it's the whole thing where the Marvel Disney universe has made a universe out of like B and C and D characters.
Yeah,
because it's really no rhyme or reason how Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man have their own big time movies.
That's what I was gonna say. I think, well, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think a space movie's I gotta catch what I said. I think a space movie from Marvel would be easy because, you know, people trust Marvel. We've seen how hard it is to get a space movie off the ground.
A space movie would be good for Marvel if it was like the Silver Surfer, not people no one's heard of. That's how I always go to. It's like, you can do a space opera movie, and if you do it well, it's great because it's an easy story. And we always say, like, Guardians of the Galaxy probably the best standalone Marvel movie where you don't have to know about anything else, and you can watch that movie and enjoy it and be fine. But you know, you got a movie about a talking tree and a talking raccoon, and you know, a bunch of people no one's heard about unless you really read Marvel comics.
Yeah, and even then, most of that's from just reading like upcoming solicitations, like previews, whatever Marvel's using. It's been so long since I worked in a comic store, which is even funnier because I worked in a comic store and I don't know a lot about some of this stuff. Like, I was rattling off all that stuff about the Flash, and that was all off the top of my head. Again, if I had something like practical use for any of this, you know how nice that would be? Somebody asked me a question about a movie yesterday, The Box, and I was like, hang on a second. I was like, oh, it's this. I forgot what it was. And then I was like, I can't tell you who the Secretary of State is, but I can tell you from 30 years ago. I mean,
yeah, well, I'm in the same way. Darlene made fun of me because I think we were in a hotel room when we were in Houston, and like the fifth Resident Evil movie came on, but I turned before I knew it was on, like, you know how they announced the movie coming up next. And within like 4 seconds of watching the trailer, I mean, like the beginning, I'm like, oh, that's the Resident Evil movie. She's looking at me like, yep. Yeah, you damn nerd. Like,
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, how would you know unless you like watch enough movies? Like, you just watch like 4 seconds. Oh, it's that movie. And it's like, oh, because I recognize the font in the beginning. And it's funny, like, I had just watched that series, like 1 through 5, 2 weeks ago. I have no idea why. I was just bored.
Those movies come on and you just leave it on.
Yeah,
they're not that good.
They're enjoyable. I know we weren't going to talk about it, but it's funny how that movie and Underworld, they're both coming out with sequels like within like January and February time. It's the sixth and last one for Resident Evil. It's the fifth one for Underworld. They both make a lot of money. They both star women, you know, that were married to the directors of those franchises. Well, one still is. One just got separated, so... Kudos to poor Kate Beckinsale. She's back on the market if you got a chance. And I always watch both of those movies. I think they're both kind of underrated. They know what type of movies they are. The main difference between the two movies is one takes itself a lot more serious than the other one. Like, Underworld has, you know, the British vibe with all the British theater actors, mm-hmm. and everybody have a stiff upper lip, and they have actors who seem like, I don't know, I want to say slumming it, but it's kind of like, they've had Michael Sheen in the British Michael Sheen, not the other Michael Sheen, Bill Nighy, so I've seen Michael Ealy in one of them, Charles Dance is about to be in a second one. It's like, hey, if you can get these guys, you can get them. Resident Evil kind of realized, you know what, we're just a video game series. Like, after the first one, how they try to do a series, it just got goofier and goofier. But I won't hate on any series that's had what's the guy name from Game of Thrones? Ser Jorah,
mm-hmm.
Mike Epps, and Ashanti have all been in those movies. So, and among people like Ollie Larder and Wentworth Miller and Borg, like, it's had actors you would not think being these movies have been in these movies. And it's a joke where you won't be in more than two of them. Like, if you're in one and you're in the sequel, you're probably going to die in that one. It's kind of like you're going to show. Yeah, it's like, yes, you're going to show up for two and three. Yeah, like, you're going to show up for two and die in three. You're going to show up in three and get kidnapped in four. It's kind of like that. Like, they had a streak going on where that happened with a lot of characters.
Well, it's funny. It's like, all right, so how much do you want for this next movie? Cool, I got you. Yeah, just first scene, knock this guy out of the park. Knock her out. It's, I don't know. They're so goofy. And like I said, every time they're on, I leave the movie on. I don't know why, but the one I liked for Underworld, the one I liked was one that had Ronan Mitra in it.
That was the third one. It is a prequel.
Because she's just ridiculous.
I always call her Kate Beckinsale's stunt double, and it was funny. A lot of people made that comment like, oh, you know, they kind of look similar or something like that. And then she pops up in the third one. Like, people made jokes about her in the first one saying, oh, was that Kate Beckinsale, Ronan Mitra? And then she shows up. That's a weird series, but I enjoy it. Because it's funny, we always talk about, you know, women being action stars and carrying their movies. And they've been doing it for like a decade. And it's kind of like, people just brush it off. I'm like, it's not a lot of women that could come out and have movies make 150 to 200 million worldwide and make a profit, like, movie after movie.
Yeah, and I think because they're underrated's one thing. They're low rated movies. Like, you know, I'm pulling up Rotten Tomatoes.
I can guess the scores. The highest one might be like in the 50s.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's 80. Critics didn't like them, but yet people keep going to them. And I think if they're like more critically acclaimed movies, then, you know, they'd be all over the place. Let me see. Come on. Let's just go. I don't care about the final chapters. Show me the... Let's see. Resident Evil 2002, 33%. Okay. What are you doing? Okay. So we got 2002's Resident Evil's 33%. 2007 for Extinction, 22. 2012 is 31. Why would you just not give me all the movies at once?
I can pull it up because I actually had the package deal. I have it on my
not one of them breaks into the 40s. The highest rated one is 33%.
Yeah, so, they all make money.
Yeah, so there's that. Now, let's see. What was the other one?
Underworld. The one that you like was...
Not one of them ranks 31% for Underworld. Evolution is 16%. That was the sequel, I believe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one you like was 29%.
Yep, and Underworld Awakening was 27. So I think part of it is that these movies are just dismissed because they're not critically acclaimed, and regardless of how strong the leads are, because you watch these movies, neither of the women need anybody in these things. I mean, just how it is. Oh. But if it's Scarlett Johansson, and this movie's got an 85% rating, they'll be like, wow, yeah. this they'd yeah, be, like, it'd be at the pinnacle.
It's basically like Lucy. Because yeah. it's kind of like, Lucy is a ridiculous-ass movie that makes no sense. And sometime, and somehow it made, what, $400 million or something like that? And had a high Rotten Tomato score. I have no idea why. Like, I've watched that movie about six times. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
like
67%. Yeah,
yeah. Bait and switch is an understatement. Like, you're thinking it's going to be an action movie, and it's some. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think one of the reasons it's rated so high is because Scarlett Johansson's in it. I haven't seen it. I have it on my DVR, by the way. I've had it on there for a while, but the way you described it to me, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to pay attention to this pretty close because so I can't watch it while I'm working. But
yeah. It's a 90-minute movie that cost $40 million to make and made $463 million. And I could not explain the plot to you if I tried. And I've seen the movie. So, and that's basically because it's Scarlett Johansson. And they'd be like, oh, it's going to be Scarlett Johansson, the action movie, kicking ass. Like, no, it's Scarlett Johansson walking around, seeing people with X-ray vision, and turning into a damn USB drive at the end.
So I'm looking up like Kate Beckinsale movies, okay? The highest rated movie she has is 98%. It's called Love and Friendship.
Yeah, I've heard about that one. They got extremely good reviews. So.
Nothing But the Truth. Aviator, which is a Scorsese movie. I don't know what the hell Nothing But the Truth is, but that's Matt Dillon in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, Aviator was the Howard Hughes movie with DiCaprio.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But what I'm getting at is she like any like sort of art house or big name director movies, she gets good ratings, but these action ones that she's in, they don't. And that's where I think people lose faith in critics because critics are all the film school snobs. There's no home. Like I think the only homegrown guy was actually Roger Ebert. God grief, told you it's gonna be a rough one. And but most of these guys are just like film school geeks. They wanted to make their stuff. They, you know, they look at all this stuff. Because you know how directors, you don't hear directors bad mouthing movies for the most part. Like directors, producers, whatever else. Like look at Tarantino, the garbage movies that he likes. And he's considered one of our country's best filmmakers. So it's like it's a movie that he would love gets terrible ratings from critics, but people have seen these things. Yeah, listen to Scorsese talk about movies, and he'll talk into the theater off of just the goofiest premise movie. He'll talk you in there, and you're like, wow, that was pretty good. But if a critic sees it, they'll just crap on it because, well, it doesn't do this, doesn't do that. And that's why, like, Rotten Tomatoes, we've talked about this before, where the critics hate a movie and the public loves it.
Yeah,
and then but then the public's the one that's wrong. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, it's funny, and we've talked about those type of movies, like the DC movies, and it's kind of like, you know, they get savaged by critics and fans saying they suck and everything like that. And then you wake up and you realize, like, okay, then how are these movies made? I mean, marketing is great, but both of those movies made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, they could have been better, but you look at, like, Suicide Squad, it didn't even get released in China, and it made almost $800 million.
Yeah.
You know, like, people get on Batman versus Superman because it didn't make a billion, and I'm like, well, most movies don't make a billion. Like, Batman, maybe the last two Batmans broke a billion, but that's rare. Like, Superman movies never made that amount of money. Mm-hmm. You know, Spider-Man is Marvel's most popular comic, and they never broke a billion. Like, them making, but somehow, you know, they making $750 million is considered a disappointment. I'm like, it's, people have funny things. Like, I always look at movies like this, and I'm like, if somebody present the movie, I either enjoy it or don't. I don't go into, like, you know, what I would have done to make it better, what I would have changed and stuff. I'm like, you know, either they did something and either it works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if it does, it does. And that allows me to enjoy things more because it's kind of like I take it for what it is, not what I want it to be. And too many people and stuff that we, like, always want, that whole repressed artist thing where I want it this way. or why couldn't they do it that way? You know, why couldn't they change? Like, even in the shows we watch, and I know we even haven't even talked about the trailer, but we can wrap this up quick.
Yeah, I know.
Like even in the shows we watch, like, you just, I saw some stupid meme saying, you know, they wanted Jesse Quick to look like this costume in the comics, and basically here with like some hot pants, booty shorts, and then you see the TV costume is like, oh, they just used the last outfit that they had for the last Beaster, and everybody was trashing it. Like, you turn on CW and you had Martian Manhunter and Miss Martian one show.
How cool was
you
that?
You had the Justice Society of America show up last week. You have Mirror Master and Top. Like, you have like all these obscure comic things coming on, and you just getting that, and people complain about a costume.
Yeah, okay.
It's like somebody went to the lottery and complained about the taxes.
All right. I was thinking the same thing last night. Like, wow, she looks really close to Barry. She's not supposed to. Because the original Johnny Quick, he had like the hair flowing out, red and yellow mostly, and that's what I was expecting her to look like. Like the booty shorts, like, that's kind of a weird design. But what I'm thinking is she's gonna come back and look different. Because, I mean, that's the outfit they had there for her. She didn't
No, yeah, they had the outfit based on the last Beaster that was there. Like, it makes sense. Like, we can just use this outfit again instead of, oh, we just happened to make one because you showed up.
Yeah.
Because people complain that all the time. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to make a particle accelerator in 25 minutes because we got the plot cannon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, at first I was a little disappointed. And I'm like, well, you got to give it a chance. So, because they weren't exactly expecting her to show up either, let alone, you know, have to train her. So, but you mentioned one thing that I didn't like Supergirl this week. I just thought it was kind of reminiscent of last season. One thing I really did enjoy was the end, though, when Miss Martian showed up. Now, here's, all right, I guess this is, I'm going to run right into your trap here. Here's the thing.
Oh boy.
Miss Martian's a white Martian. She's not a green Martian. That's the whole problem with her, is that she disguises herself to be green, but she's really a white Martian who are the evil ones. So I'm wondering if that's where they're going to go, because they only gave it a 2-second reveal. Mm-hmm. But so that's my thing. So, but again, I'm willing to give that a chance. So.
Oh, you're not there with your cannon guns. Like, that's wrong, and they got to get it right. Like,
not yet, no. So,
oh, God.
Well, I mean, but you know, the funny thing is, no one complained about Snapper Carr. Snapper Carr literally got his nickname because he snapped his fingers all the time. Yes, that's how he got his name. And he used to hang around with the Justice League. But now he's like this grizzled old newspaper guy like spitting out old timey platitudes about, you know, the news and all this stuff. And like, no one's complaining that this character has gone from the goofy sidekick that snaps his finger all the time to the news guy.
I'm sure someone's on some message board complaining. Like, you know, we just haven't seen them yet.
Let me see. Actually, I'm curious. While you're talking, I'll look it up. I'm curious.
Don't do that. Don't do that, because people will complain about everything, like, and we always joke about it. Kind of, I don't know. At one hand, it's kind of like, I don't want to be the guy saying shut up and be grateful for all the stuff you have, but no, for real, shut up and be grateful for all the stuff you have. Like, you have you won. You got all this stuff coming out that you get to enjoy, and you at the top of the line, and it's funny, you get the spotlight on comic fans, you realize they're not as benign as people thought they were. Like, they some of the most whiny, bigoted, misogynistic, arrogant fan base. Like, it is almost toxic. Like, I think maybe people didn't notice because it was kind of like, you know, in the background, in the shadows. And when it was a niche thing, you could just make the joke, oh, they're just fat guys reading comics, eating nachos, blah, blah, blah. You didn't think about it. Anybody had, you know, you enjoy your stuff. You enjoy your stuff in peace with your fellow friends. Now that you have the internet and social media and the fact that comic things rule the world and run the world when it comes to entertainment, now you see, oh, maybe stuff's not as benign and as harmless as you thought when you get a spotlight on there. It's like, oh, You didn't realize that guy that just wanted to have his own, you know, Blade comic hates women and minorities because they've taken away from, like, somebody make a joke. I can accept an alien. I can accept a dragon, but I can't accept a Mexican superhero. Like, something's wrong when that's a thing. But that's a thing. Like, you know, if you change anything or bring anything new, it's like, I want it the way I want it. I want it the old way. You know, you're ruining my childhood and all that crap. So
I'm trying to think, what Mexican superheroes do we have? I'm being dead serious. I'm trying to think. What obvious ones am I missing?
We don't have a lot. We have Vibe.
Yeah, and he was in the comics, no one liked him anyways.
Yeah,
the show's done way more for the Vibe character than comics ever has. So
yeah, on TV you basically have him and you have Ghost Rider, and the comics you have
Ghost Rider's fairly new too.
Yeah, and the comics you have Miss America, America Chavez, and that's the first one. And
what DC?
And I think X-Force used to have.
Yes.
Did they have one? Yeah, Richter.
Was it Richter?
No, he was Brazilian.
Oh, that's so right.
But that's still, I mean, I guess depends on if that's classified as Latin. But like I said, it's been a small list. So, and the fact that we're two guys that read comics and we had to go, to even think about this kind of shows, that's a bleak ass list. But I was plenty, but yeah, I could believe somebody turned into a dragon as long as it's canon, right? I'm like, yeah.
All right, so I'm on Wikipedia here trying to see. All right, so let's see. DC. Bane, but he's from Republic. Or straight Mexican. El Twat? Which, the bastard? What? Okay, I thought so. Jaime Reyes. Blue Beetle. I couldn't remember if he was Puerto Rican or if he was Mexican. So yeah, so he's a big one. He's actually got his own series, and that's probably the Blue Beetle. If it ever goes to TV, that's who that's going to be. That was basically DC's answer to Spider-Man when they tried to reboot that. They're trying to say Kyle Rayner's Mexican American. I don't remember that. Vibe. And then a bunch of people we really don't like. Oh, this is Renee Montoya, but she's Dominican.
Yeah.
So she doesn't count. Yeah, so DC's only got, like, of this big list, they've only got two. That's pretty crazy to me, actually. I would have thought there'd be more.
Especially with how demographics change.
Yeah.
And that's the point people are making. Like, you can't compare stuff that's how they used to do back in the 40s and 50s. Like, Black people couldn't even use water fountains back then, so why would they be in comics? Like, they didn't have these things called civil rights. So comparing how they used to do it back in 1950 to 2016, it's like, you know, people used to boil everything because they didn't have microwaves. We have microwaves now, so, you know, like, people had to, polio used to be a thing. It's not a thing anymore, so there's no excuse to say keep it the way it used to be. Like, you know, this. People used to do set shots in basketball because they couldn't jump. Like, why? It's amazing how it's like, you know, people like, you know, modern things until it's something that rubs them the wrong way. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, I miss, like, that whole, like, if whenever you say I miss the good old days, usually you sound like an asshole. That's what I always tell people. Those days weren't good for most people. Unless it was like, you know, I missed the good old days when I had a job, and now I don't have a job anymore. That's one thing to miss. But not, I missed the good old days when everybody in New York was white and Spider-Man. Like, no. That's not the good old days.
Okay. Well, it's funny how those terms get aped now, though. Like, because I agree with you on the second part. Like, the good old days mean different things. Saying that you miss the good old days means different things. Mm-hmm. Now it's gotten into this generalization of, well, they weren't the good old days. So it's like, well, no. Everybody's experiences are different. So your good old days, like, I miss the good old days when I used to hang out in Detroit with my family and that. Like, you can put it that way. When someone's like, what, where you lived? I was like, no, because I liked hanging out with my grandparents and my family. That's all it means. It's, and what's the one now? Oh, Boys Will Be Boys. that somehow has turned into, like, it's basically the excuse for, well, you're allowed to rape somebody, you know, boys will be boys. Like, that's not what that means. That's never meant that.
You know, somehow, no, like, you know, boys will be boys might be, you know, you throw rocks at cars.
Or each other.
Yeah, or each other. Fun. Or you play in the street or stuff like that. Yeah. Not boys will be boys. I grabbed a girl's ass and took her to the bushes and raped her. Like, what type of boys were you hanging out? What, war boys?
Thank
like,
you.
Is this,
yeah.
Is this Mad Men? Like, no. And I've seen people on, like, Facebook, like, oh, people got so soft. I remember I was a boy. Boys will be boys. We just did boys. I'm like, so I wouldn't want to have been hanging around your neighborhood. You was just running around molesting little girls and saying that's how we had fun. Like, do you hear how you sound?
But like,
sometimes
exactly
people know how they sound.
Like, when did boys will be boys turn into that? Like, it was always, well, I'm outside, I'm hanging from a tree, and I jumped off and hurt my ankle. I was told not to do it. Well, then I convinced my friend to do it. They did it, and then I did it again. I was like, well, they're stupid. Boys will be boys. Like that. Now it's, well, here's this chick. Let's go bang her out. Well, boys will be boys. Like, what? One has nothing to do with the other. They literally are two totally different things that you're claiming are the same. Like, by saying a blanket term that everything's the same, like, when it's a crass generalization of things now. And I don't know who, somebody's Facebook post, I just couldn't, somebody went crazy on that. And I'm reading it like, where the hell did you grow up? Like, what kind of shit environment did you grow up that something like that happened? And that's what you think of. Like, I remember getting in rock fights with, like, kids we didn't like. And then I got smacked in the face. My mom comes out, it's like, what the hell are you doing? And that's a boys will be boys thing. We just didn't like each other, so we were throwing rocks at each other like fucking animals. And then someone else was, well, in my neighborhood, it was like, well, God, your neighborhood sounds like it was trash. So, sorry your upbringing sucked. But don't take out your personal, you know, your personal experiences out on me. So, anyways, you were right about Richter, by the way. I was looking it up when you were talking. He actually is Mexican. Now, here's the thing. I'm going through the Marvel... this page is called Latino Superheroes, okay? And of anybody of Mexican descent, he's the only one I recognize. So this is kind of mind-blowing to me, because I honestly thought there would be more. And there's just not. Like, Miles Morales is Puerto Rican. Well, they put him as just Puerto Rican. I thought he was half black and half Puerto Rican.
He is, okay. And that's come up as a storyline. I'll leave that alone.
Oh, okay.
No, because it's funny where if you look at the demographics, like, it's majority white, you'll see blacks more. You'll see a lot of Asians. But for whatever reason, you don't see a lot of, like, Latin superheroes.
Yeah.
And it's just... It stands out because, like, there's a lot of Latin people around the planet. And it's like, it'll probably be the second biggest, or soon probably be the biggest demographic in America, probably 20 to 30 years from now. But you wouldn't know it. But if you turn on the TV or read a book or see anything, you wouldn't know it. And it's just, it stands out. Like, it definitely stands out. Even more than, like, the whole non-black thing. It's like, you don't see anybody.
No, I'm actually very surprised by this. Because I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest. Sunspot is Brazilian.
Yeah.
Well,
you would expect to see
Wikipedia. So.
Yeah. Well, like, you would expect to see someone like, at least, you know, black people don't have a lot, but at least you have Storm and Bishop and Luke Cage and War Machine and Black Panther. Like, Latin, you could name, like, I mean, how many people remember Richter? Like, seriously. Like, I remember him because I used to read X-Force all the time. But that was the old X-Force that came out in the damn early 90s, and it's 2016. It's like, I can remember more Native American superheroes than I could Latin superheroes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think, even going to the suit, like, I think what, we'll get to Logan's eventually. I remember watching the Super Friends, you know, like, the original, and then they introduced, like, Black Vulcan, the black guy. You know, he couldn't be Black Lightning. For whatever reason. Then they had Apache Chief, a Native American, not Silver Samurai, what the hell is his name? Oh, no. Well, they had an Asian guy. And I'm trying to think. They didn't have a Mexican guy in there either. Weird. I'm stuck on this, man. Sorry. Now I'm trying to remember the guy's damn name.
No, you get OE in there. Memory leaves you.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Because I know exactly what he looks like.
Yeah. While you were doing that, I was looking at Luc Besson's next movie because we were talking about Lucy. And this cast is insane. I'm not going to tell you what the movie's about. I'm just going to name some of the people in the movie.
Oh, it was just Samurai. Okay, I was right.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. I'm just going to name some of the people. Besides, okay, the guy that was in Chronicle and played Harry Osborn, Dane DeHaan.
The girl that never looks happy. Yeah.
Yeah, the girl that played Enchantress in Suicide Squad. And then Clive Owen, Rihanna, John Goodman, Ethan Hawke, Rutger Hauer.
What? Huh?
Wait, yes.
Sorry, one of those guys doesn't fit in there. Like, how the hell is Rutger Hauer still getting major work? What freakish movie is this called?
This is Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. It's Luc Besson's like dream project.
Uh-oh.
He's been talking about doing for a while. And they threw him a whole bunch of money. I mean, Luc Besson with money, I'll say something like this. Like, it may be a mess. It may be great. It will not be boring.
Beautiful. Oh, it's going to be beautiful,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. But I'm just like a cast with Ethan Hawke, Clive Owen, and Rihanna. Movie, yeah. So.
Well, I was like, the last time I saw Rihanna in a movie, it was called Battleship. And she wasn't the biggest problem in the movie. She was just one of many problems in that movie. Because that was garbage. Although, fun fact here, Kevin and Melissa were dating, and they went to see that movie. And Kevin said she really enjoyed it. And I asked him, are you still going to see this girl? And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to hold it against her. I was like, all right.
I mean, depending on the mindset, it's okay. It's kind of like Battleship proves that Michael Bay is talented because people just assume like, no, because there's people
assume, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Transformers. I'm like, no. Yeah. It takes talent to do what Michael Bay does because when you don't have Michael Bay, you have movies like Battleship because Peter Berg is a very good action director, but that movie was like a C-rated Transformers, and it ain't like Transformers is Shakespeare. But no, she's going to show up in the that Women's Ocean 8 movie, and that's a weird-ass cast. I saw that cast. Like, that's batshit crazy, too, so...
I didn't know they were actually making that movie.
Yes. Anne Hathaway, Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Rihanna. Yeah. So
did everyone forget how bad Ocean's 13 was? Like,
you mean 12?
And 13, because it was Ocean's 11, 12, and 13.
13 was okay. 11 was the best one. 12 was trash. So it was almost like we want to take a vacation in Italy with our friends.
Yeah, so cool, paid for. I couldn't find any Snapper Car complaints, actually, so I'll have to keep looking. But, no, got off track again, but...
Okay, I found the cast, and then we go to Logan. So Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter, Mindy Kaling, Sarah Paulson, and who the hell is Awkwafina?
I'm going to say it's a rap or hip-hop artist.
It's a woman, American rapper, comedian, television personality, and television host that is half Chinese, half South Korean. So they basically checked off almost every... They basically checked off almost every damn demographic they had, except for, I guess they couldn't find Native American. And Latin. Which kind of wraps up what we were talking about.
Yeah, they got kicked out again, huh?
How about that? Yeah. So,
all right, it's actually kind of funny now. It's like, all right, well, I'm trying to find pictures of this Awkwafina. Oh boy, yeah, it's okay. So, anyways,
silent. Silence is golden. Like I just Google what you Google, and I'm probably
you know
have the same process you have, but I'm more subtle with it. Because I'm trying to be, because unlike you, I want to be nice.
No, you know what? I was in a perfect. I was actually kind of tired today at work, and then, and if you're for someone I work with listening, just shut this off. And then I started following the TNA trial, the Billy Corgan's TNA trial on Twitter, and I just started like tweeting back at the reporter guy, just one-liners, and I was like, this is a lot of fun. It got like the creative juices flowing and all that, and then I realized, oh, now I understand what Twitter's like. Like, there's, I'm anonymous for the most part. I don't even use my real name, and I can just say whatever I want. Like, I wasn't getting on the guy, but I was just making fun of like TNA's lawyers, basically. It was a lot of fun. So, which is also the gist of South Park this season too, which if you haven't watched it, it's been pretty good. So, anyways, let's get to Logan. Because we still haven't gotten to Deadpool or Walking Dead yet, so
nope.
No, and we've been going a while now, so
about
40 minutes, yeah. Logan looks pretty badass. It looks completely different than any superhero movie. It almost doesn't even look like one.
I think it's the movie they always wanted to make, but Fox wouldn't let them. And I think Deadpool being successful and the fact that it's the last one is kind of like, you know, now we can do what we want to do. Because it doesn't feel like a comic book movie. It feels like a movie with just comic book people. And the Wolverine was a movie. It's kind of like, it was a movie that was good, but could have been great if Fox would have let them be great. Because it was like 2/3 of the movie was awesome. And then the last third was not, and then it bothers. And then when you see the unrated cut, it's like, yeah, if they would have just released that in the film and not had that nonsense at the end, then that would have been a much better movie. And it's like this one is kind of like, okay, now we get to do what we want to do, but it doesn't. It's weird where the Wolverine movies always kind of stood out where they're in the X-Men universe, but they don't feel like it. Like they don't have a connection to like the other X-Men movies. Like, you know, the first one had characters you didn't really see except for in that movie, and then it's like, you know, you see teenage Cyclops and Baby Storm and stuff and a young Professor Xavier, but that movie was a damn mess. The second one was kind of like Wolverine and a bunch of Japanese people and the ghost of Jean Grey.
and then at the end they threw in Professor X and Magneto which had nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, this is the setup to the next X-Men movie, but if they didn't have that in there, you would have just assumed the X-Men died, and it's just Wolverine walking around.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's kind of like, is Wolverine and Professor X on a road trip, looking old and older?
The synopsis says that his healing power has gone down, so that's why it's taken a while. Okay, so seeing how different it looks, and, you know, Professor X is in it, so they're going to still probably tied into other X-Men movies. How do you feel about just standalone movies like this? Like, Deadpool sort of was an X-Men movie because they went to the mansion, even though they made fun of it, made fun of the continuity. Then you got, you know, the Wolverine, where didn't really have anything to do with it outside of the Gene flashbacks. Now you've got this one that could be a totally standalone movie. It's like, do you prefer that they be in continuity, or do you prefer to just have the good story and then, oh, screw it, we'll figure it out later?
I think it depends. I'm like, if you tell a good movie, it doesn't have, you can do what you want. And it's funny where a lot of complaints with the Marvel movies is kind of like, you know, the whole, I have to watch all the movies to keep what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're a fan, then that's great. But if you're not, if you plop somebody in some of the movies, like half of that stuff doesn't have any weight. It only has weight if you know people. Besides, set of Iron Man, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Thor, like, and Ant-Man to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But after that, like, if you haven't watched any of those movies, and it's kind of like, you, like, if you watch Thor 2, you like, why is this going on with this and everything? It's not even kind of like they give you like a brief synopsis of what happened beforehand, like the old Spider-Man movies. The X-Men movies, though, have been different because they play fast and loose with continued, you know, with the timeline so much where I think it's best to do standalone movies to make sense. Like, because it's just they've rebooted it once, but they've kept people from the old reboot and the new reboot, and they've changed the timeline like twice. So trying to keep up with everything, it's kind of like you would have a headache doing it. So if it's a good story, do a standalone story, and it's the future, so you're gonna say everybody's dead, boom. So it's related.
Yeah, or hell, even just make it a separate. Like a separate continuity, if you want. I don't know. I like things being uniform, but I don't think you have to adhere to stuff. Like, I just want a good story out of something. And if it happens to be part of it, then fine. Like the DC movies, I thought they had a pretty good thing, like pretty good idea going to where here's our character, here's our director, here's the guy writing it. Make a good movie, and we'll go from there. And then everyone, like Man of Steel, comes out, and everyone's all up in arms because it didn't have anything to do with anything else. Even though it was the first one, but they were like, well, there's no Batman cameo or there's no this. Like, well, no.
No, I don't think people were looking for that. I think people were just mad because they turned Superman to Batman.
Yeah,
the biggest problem.
Yeah, it was that too.
Yeah, so, because no, it's kind of...
I don't know.
You can get away...
go ahead.
I say you can get away with that if, because it goes to what we said, if you tell a good story. Or it's like, you know, you can change the character, you can move stuff around, but... You can only change it so much. Like, the Superman in the DC universe makes sense in the DC universe, but it doesn't feel like Superman, and that's the biggest problem. And it definitely stands out after you see Superman and Supergirl, and that should tell you something, where they get the guy from Teen Wolf on MTV, and he plays a much better Superman than, you know, big buffed up character actor Henry Cavill, who's a good actor and other stuff, because it's kind of like, you know, one guy... It's Superman, and the other guy is somebody that looks like Superman and is acting like an asshole because his stepdaddy taught him that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's why the CW shows took off so well. Like, Arrow was so good because it didn't have anything to deal with. It was just this. And Supergirl's got that opportunity, too, because they're in their own universe right now.
Mm-hmm.
Flash, you know, kind of plays off. They try to keep it simple, and I think they're starting to realize that too. Just because even last night on Flash, they ask about, well, what's his name, Captain Cold. You know, they mentioned that he's gone. He's like gone. He's like, I don't want to know. He's like, yeah, he's just gone with his friends, and it was nice. It was like, all right, we'll just keep on, because, you know, so if you watch Legends of Tomorrow, great. If you don't, well, you don't have to worry about it because you don't know. So. I'm just all for just having a good movie. That's why I think I like Guardians of the Galaxy so much. You didn't have to know anything going into that movie. Not a thing. It was great. And that's what this Wolverine kind of looks like. Alright, well, here's Charles Xavier. He used to run the X-Men. This is all from the preview, mind you. And, alright, I'm Wolverine. This doesn't work. And there's a bunch of guys hunting me down. And now X-23 shows up. Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, mutants are dying out. You see Charles Xavier look like he's, you know, because it's funny, like Patrick Stewart has looked the same age for like 35 years. So seeing him look like old is kind of, you know, disconcerting because he's never looked that way. And then you see Hugh Jackman all jacked up, but looking, you know, he's like an 80-year-old man that loves CrossFit.
Yeah.
That's how he looks. And then just so you know, it's an R-rated movie. You have him popping his claws in somebody's skull. So it's kind of like, yeah, this is your mama's X-Men movie.
Well, that was the international trailer. They cut that part out for Americans trailer.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's a red band trailer, you're not going to see that. Like if I went to the movie theater, it's not a red band trailer. You're not going to see that in an American trailer. Like, you might have some little kid in there that's going to see like some PG-13 movie, and then you see Wolverine popping his claws through somebody's skull. Yes, some parent might get, or some mom will be pissed.
Yeah.
Because, like,
okay, so I'm glad you brought this up, and there's not much else to go on with Logan, but the violence talk is where the next one's heading, and you know what this is going to be. So you mentioned, all right, so you're in a theater, like most of the time they play R-rated movies before R-rated movies. They don't usually do it before PG-13. I mean, it's not standard, but what's preferable? Because Walking Dead was this weekend, and that was some of the most violent shit I've seen on a regular basic cable. I mean, AMC is on basic cable. That's some of the most violent stuff I've ever seen outside of, like, an HBO show or a movie. But yet, people are complaining that it was too violent. The backlash is starting, basically, that it was too violent, it was too emotionally a wreck. And then there's the other side saying, well, this is a show that the worst thing you can say is dick. And you can't show nudity. Not that Walking Dead, you know, it's got a whole lot of sex, whatever. You can't show, like, some beautiful areolas or anything. But you can show some guy getting his head basically turned to mush with a barbed wire baseball bat. So I don't get people's sensibilities to where violence is just fine, but words everything else is kind of off limits. Because that was, I mean, that was tough, man. And I knew was coming. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know Glenn was getting knocked out, but that's what it was like in the comic. So,
see, it's funny. It's kind of like bloodless violence is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. Bloody violence has always been the whole, like, you don't see that. Because I was in... America's kind of funny when it comes to, like, what's cool and what's not cool, and that's just, you know...
That's not funny, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but it's just, like, you know, you can show somebody getting blown up in a bus, but you can't show areola, because whatever. But you can show everything else, like, she can... Or it's kind of like, you know, she can't walk around a thong, but she can walk around a regular two-piece. Like, mm-hmm. Really? 4 inches of cheek make a difference, but whatever. But, no, I was watching Walking Dead, and I just felt uncomfortable. Like, I'm not squeamish... or anything like that. I'm not one of those, oh, don't show it. But it wasn't, it gets to a point where, like, you know why they're doing stuff, but I talked to people, like, you know, I watched the episode. If I never watch it again, I'd be just fine, because it's kind of like, it's just brutal to watch. And it makes it even worse, because, you know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is so charismatic. I've never liked nothing he's done wrong, but whenever he's been in shows, I've never liked him, because he's always come off as, like, a likable dickhead. Like, in Watchmen, he was despicable, but he was, like, strangely likable. Even when he was in The Losers, like, he was supposed to be a good guy. Like, I couldn't root for him. I laughed when he got gunned down in Batman vs. Superman. Like, that's what he gets. You know, yeah. And I made the joke. And
that's
I made
what
the
he
joke
gets for making us sit through the Batman origin again. So, yeah.
And I made the joke with Cam. I'm like, okay, so this is the Flashpoint thing. What happens to Thomas Wayne when Bruce dies? He becomes an asshole, bashing people's skulls with a bat and talking trash with a smile on his face. And just seeing him, like, seeing Rick, a character that's been so strong and maybe even foolishly strong, that's, like, broken. Like, his humanity was broken down for, like, a good hour. Like, that's uncomfortable, seeing that as a man. Let's see another man just... humbled and humiliated, like, begging. Well, and the other guys are, like, laughing at him.
Well, yeah, there's that. It's... Okay, yeah, you hit it on the head when you're talking about Rick being, like, the strong character this whole time. And that's pretty much... And I understand that, you know, Abraham and Glenn getting smashed to death is pretty awful, all right? Let's not go around that. And it's awful for everybody else that's involved. But the crux of that episode was, all right, I've got to break Rick down. The first 10 minutes... is, you know, Negan driving him around, like, psychologically trying to get in his head. Even offered, here, grab this axe and put it in my head. He's like, the first thing I would have expected you would have done was to try that. Of course, he's got a gun, but whatever. But then, you know, outside, he's still, you know, still fighting for his life, whatever. They cut back. They go through all that, and, you know, he's broken down. But then... it just continues. Basically, the focus is now gone. It's all on him for the 30 minutes? Or what seemed like hours, really. But it seemed... that whole scene with, like, him... Negan just talking him down... and then forcing him to, like, nearly cut off Carl's arm. You know, he offered himself up. He said no, and he was about to do it. And that's all that shit was.
Like, you know, it was, make sure you do it at an angle so you can flip the meat over, and we got a good doctor and he should be fine, maybe. And he just laughing and grinning and smirking, and Carl's like, go ahead and do it. And you know, seeing Rick slobbering and mucus coming out his nose, and I'm like, it's like I almost turned the channel. Like, enough is enough.
Uh-huh.
It was, I got to that point. And we're not even talking about, you know, seeing him bash Abraham and especially Glenn's brains out. Like, seeing Glenn try to talk with an eyeball popping out. Right. Like, that's...
Wait, hang on. The Rick stuff... All right, because he's making me laugh. But the Rick stuff, that was the part that was hardest, was psychologically him getting broken down. And even Elise said she had a hard time watching that whole scene with, you know, because, I mean, you know, got to choose your kid and all that stuff. But when it came to the Glenn and Abraham stuff, at least Abraham, you know, got to say, you know, suck my balls, whatever, before he went away. He had something cool to say, all right?
Fitting to the character. That made him feel better, yes.
Well, then, unfortunately, the Glenn part... One came out of the blue because I really didn't think they were gonna do that. But as soon as Negan walked near Glenn, I was like, "Uh oh, here it comes." So the stuff, that's straight out of the comics.
Yeah, I heard.
So I kind of laughed when he started doing it, though. It was
because you're a dick. Like, it's funny where something that you read is different when you actually see it. You know, it's like, okay,
yes.
And you hear it, it's kind of like, okay, you read it, so you're picturing, like, you know, maybe bad, but it's still like a written word. It's kind of like, you know it's not real. Mm-hmm. Even when TV's not real, you're still seeing real people doing that, and you're not used to seeing somebody trying to talk with an eyeball almost hanging out, and it's kind of like, I'm watching this, and it doesn't help when he cracking jokes with his vampire baseball bat.
And he goes, oh, and come on, like, it wasn't that bad, was it? I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. You know, like, he's walking around like he's the first villain that's just a villain. Like, he's like a video game villain. Like, he's doing asshole stuff. I mean, it's to prove a point, but it's kind of like he's not doing for the greater good. He's not conflicted. He doesn't have some backstory where he might have been a good guy. Like, no, this guy's an asshole that enjoys being an asshole and wants to either take your stuff or kill you. But he cracks jokes about it. And it's just, you haven't seen a plain old villain. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like just a straight villain. Not like, you know, he would have been a good man if stuff went right, a few things. Like, no, this guy was just an asshole that just happened to be very good at being an asshole and attracting a whole bunch of assholes. And it's kind of like, I hadn't even watched Walking Dead, like, half. Like, I checked out, like, half of season 6.
Yeah.
And I came back, like, near the end. So, but I remember, like, the last episode, like, the last 10 minutes when he comes strolling out with his bat and his jacket and just all smirking and everything. And I'm like, I like this guy and I shouldn't. That's the first thing that I felt. And I felt bad liking this guy because he just – and I think that's kudos to the actor. Like, he's the type where you like him when you shouldn't.
Well, that's what I've – I don't read the comic. I know the major happenings and all that. And I know that in the comic, it's the same way. It's one of those characters you don't like, but at the same time, he comes off as super entertaining and borderline charming. So, I guess what the show's going through is what the comic's going through. The comic was totally different before Negan showed up, and it's totally different now that he's there. And I'm guessing that's what this is going to be. I mean, it's obvious that... You know, Rick and the group, or the whatever, are going to come back and, you know, usurp him eventually. But because you can't have the show be that miserable going forward. I mean,
yeah, we've had enough of that, like season 2 in the damn farm, where like six episodes people being miserable.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's just funny, like, you're not used to seeing Rick like that, like broken. Because Rick always walk around, I'm Billy Badass, I got my rules, and you don't like it, you know, I'm going to shoot you anyway. And, like, he's used to, like, being either tough guy or crazy. And you haven't seen him just look, like, pathetic. Mm-hmm. You've seen him take losses before. You've seen him sad before, you know, when people have died or when he's made mistakes. But you haven't seen him, like, broken.
What did you think of the end scene where they showed... You know, the what could have been stuff.
I think it just kind of like reinforced why he did what he did. And it was funny, like, that whole, like, everything was kind of like, it was funny, people were complaining, like, they're dragging this out, and, you know, why don't they show who died, and it's kind of like, because they knew people weren't going to turn the channel, like, AMC knew exactly what they were doing with that, and you're wondering, like, you know, how many people died. Like, at first, I'm like, okay, I know at least one person died, but then you see all these flashbacks and everything like that, it's like, did they all, like, is Rick the only one that lived?
Oh,
like,
I was, okay. Supposedly, they filmed scenes with everybody getting bashed.
Yeah, I read that, so spoilers wouldn't come out.
Yeah. And, like, they're making a big deal because there's a Maggie one that leaked. And it was like, well, yeah, because, you know, every one of them showed their heads getting bashed in. But, no, the scene I'm talking about is the scene at the dinner table at the end.
Oh, yes, I remember. Okay.
And they show the baby and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, come on. It's like, that's a little much. Like, you know, in a joking way, it's a little much. But I'm thinking, boy, that's they haven't done that with anybody else. Good grief.
Yeah, what could be? Like, you know, because it's funny. It's almost like laughing at the show because it's like, this is a show where, if you're honest, there ain't no happy endings. Like, even if they over, like, what's there to, like, really, like, unless you show that stuff happened all over the world, like, you got a bunch of knuckleheads and hillbillies with sixth-grade educations. Like, they're only going to do so much. Like, maybe they'll survive, but they're not rebuilding. Like, if they're best, they might rebuild, like, a city or, like, a town. Like, that's it. Okay, so, you know, we got Georgia under control. I mean, like, yeah, and, like, you know, would you really want to have a baby growing up in that? Would you really want to grow old and that type of, you know, universe? It's kind of like, that's the thing where you watching the show, and it's really it's one of the first shows, and, like, it's definitely the biggest show where you know you're not getting a happy ending. Like, even if it ends, it's going to be kind of, like, you know, bittersweet at best. Like, Breaking Bad is kind of like, you knew it was going to end, but it was like, some people had good endings with that, you know, like Walter White didn't, but everybody else more or less was kind of like, if they got out, they got out. Like, this one's like, okay, what they're going to have. Oh, we're just going to chill on the farm, and we're just going to take one day at a time. And like, what? You in a world with zombies and numbskulls.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you think about it, Negan's just lazy.
Yeah.
He's charming as hell, but he doesn't do anything. He makes everybody else get stuff for him. Like, he hasn't done anything so far that we know of to go out and produce anything. Like, I mean, he did mention that they have a great doctor wherever they stay, but so everything else is like,
I'm Negan and I want your stuff.
Yeah, I want your shit. Your shit is my shit.
Like, he's a big ass bully with a bat, and he has friends. It's weird where something that small could, you know, I guess bullies, I mean, it makes sense, you know, bullies roll together if they have like an alpha dog, and I guess his personality strong enough is like, you know, we're all assholes, and hey, we can bully these other people and have them do the work for us and take stuff, so why not? But it's just funny where he's not some military man. He wasn't like some political leader or some preacher. He's just a lazy guy with a hand, mm-hmm. with a bat.
Yeah. I mean, at least the governor, like, created a community. You know, yeah. As bad as he was, mind you. But I don't know. I forgot that. There was something else that happened. Oh, you realize the guy, that his like, right-hand man, I can't remember what his name is. Not Dwight, what was his name? All right, so basically he plays Trevor in Grand Theft Auto 5. He's the voice of Trevor. Was it Simon? Yeah, Simon. So whenever he talks, all I think about is Grand Theft Auto 5.
You know, I played that game. And I, like, played for, like, 20 minutes, and I was just like, I think that's, like, why am I playing this? Not because it wasn't a good game, but I'm like, it's a game with three criminals, and it's like, I don't want to run over people. I don't care about this rich guy who can't get up on his asshole son. I don't want to see this black guy dealing with all this stereotype crap, and I don't want to be with a hill, but, like, it's, the game would play fun, but I wasn't having fun. And it's like, I think that's the first time where it's like, you know what? I'm not having fun playing this game. I'm playing this game because I'm supposed to play this game. And I stopped playing, and I haven't played it since.
It took me a little bit because I was having that, I don't know if it, deja vu is not the right word, but I'm like, all right, this is more of the same old, same old. And then once the world started opening up and I somehow was in the mountains and I came across a observatory and I could snipe people from like 200 yards away, I was like, okay, this is really fun. So it took a little bit for me to get into it, but once I did, and the Trevor guy is just hilarious. He's just a total dirtbag. So when the Simon guy shows up and it's the guy that plays Trevor, I started laughing because it's kind of the same thing. I mean, he's not as dirty, you know, because he's answering to somebody, but he's not as unhinged as the Trevor character was, but it was still pretty damn funny. So I actually don't want him to die because of that, but I'm sure he will. So
yeah.
Did we hit everything?
There's one more we didn't hit. The Deadpool 2.
Yes. Which I was going to go from the Logan thing, but so now Logan doesn't have a director. I'm sorry, now Deadpool 2 doesn't have a director, because the director took off over apparently two different, Ryan Reynolds and the director, Tim Miller, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not often I get the name right first time. They have two totally different visions for the movie. Apparently Ryan Reynolds wants to keep it small, and Tim Miller wanted to do a movie with three times the budget of the original, which would have made it the most expensive X-Men movie ever.
Well, it'd been less than Days of Future Past, but it'd been more than X-Men Apocalypse, which is hilarious. Is that part, and then is the whole arguing over Cast and Cable. The director wanted Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights. And this Ryan Reynolds and the it's funny, like, it wasn't just Ryan Reynolds, it was Ryan Reynolds and the writers that were kind of like, no. And I mean, from everything we've seen, if this is on the up and up, I gotta side with Ryan Reynolds. It's like Deadpool.
Who did they want for Cable? I didn't see that part.
They haven't said yet. They didn't want Kyle Chandler. It's like, okay. He's a good actor, but when I think of Cable, I don't think of him. Like, it always seemed like a weird fit, like trying to put a square peg into a round hole. And like, based on everything we've read and saw, if everything is true on the up and up, I'm siding with Ryan Reynolds on this. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until he does something wrong, you kind of have to, because it's the same writers, aren't they? Like, all the writers are the same too. And I think that's, I would wonder if a bigger budget movie, if Fox would be more inclined to be like, no, got to make it PG-13. Because, you know, what was the last one? Apocalypse. Didn't exactly set the world on fire. I mean, it made money, mind you. But
yeah, it was their third highest grossing movie. So,
but
it's kind of like, it's one of those.
The execs, though, won't see it that way.
No, the execs were funny. Like, you know what? It made what we wanted to make. It was everybody else that was saying, oh, and it fit in the whole. It's the summer of sequel disasters, because it's like that came out, Ninja Turtles. That's when all these sequels that came out didn't make money like it was supposed to. So it was like easy to grope in and say, oh, people tired of sequels. I'm like, no, X-Men didn't make as much as Days of Future Past, because Days of Future Past made a lot more than anyone thought it was going to make. And so did Deadpool. But the X-Men movies never made a whole lot of money to begin with. Mm-hmm. So making close to $600 million shouldn't be considered a failure. But it's like, you comparing it to Batman versus Superman, and you comparing it to like Civil War, then it seems like small potatoes. But I always look at the whole budget thing, like, why would you? I know the joke in Deadpool, like, they cut the budget and they cut stuff out, but that made the movie, like, mm-hmm. What was spending three times the money due to Deadpool? Like, it's not like it's a that character doesn't need a lot more money. Like, what would you add to make the movie better? Because it kind of, it's almost where you would turn it to the type of movie that the first Deadpool would make fun of. Like, okay, we're just going to make an X-Men movie. Like, and then it's not what made Deadpool.
We're on the same train of thought on this one. Because that was the only thing. You make a big budget movie like X-Men and put Deadpool in it, don't you kind of feel obligated to have Deadpool make fun of what's going on? Like, looking around and being like, wow, looks like we increased the budget for this movie. Or it's like, while he's fighting, making fun of the effects, or if they're CGI characters, like, turn around, like, don't worry, kids, these aren't real anyways, and, you know, lopping heads off whatever. And I think that would kind of, I don't know, would it undermine the amount of money and effort put into making a bigger movie if your character's just making fun of it?
It would take away what made the first one great. And at the same time, it's funny the effect Deadpool had on Fox, because it's a movie that they didn't want to make. They almost felt forced to make it. They kept cutting the budget, everything like that. But it became so successful, it opened up the gateways for them to make a sequel and let Wolverine, like, let Logan be Logan. Like, if Deadpool doesn't succeed that way, that third Wolverine movie would probably not look the way it looks. But at the same time, it's like, okay, we want you to do another movie, and if you can make the same amount of money, that's great. Do what you want. Like, if you want to spend $50 to $70 million, you'd be R-rated all day. Keep on going. If you want to spend $170, $180 million, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you know, I don't know if I can spend this amount of money on an R-rated movie. And to be honest with Fox, it's kind of like they have a reputation for kind of jumping in and messing around with the script when they shouldn't. And I can't think of one time it's worked. Like, Deadpool was the exception. Like, they just cut the budget, but they didn't change the script. The people did the movie change the script. Like, you saw what happened with the third X-Men movie, like The Last Stand. You saw what happened with X-Men Origins Wolverine. You saw what happened with the Wolverine. Like, you know, we want to change stuff. We want to add this big fight scene because people might get bored. We want to change this character and add this so people might get bored. We want to add characters who have no place to be in the movie so we can have some type of humor. Like, and you saw what happened with Fantastic Four. Every time Fox has jumped in these comic movies and meddled around, it has been to their detriment. So leave it alone. Like, if it means less money, fine. Because I never watched Deadpool. It was like, you know what? I wish this movie had a bigger budget, because it was like, it didn't need it.
No, I can't think of one. I can't think of one scene that would have been better with more money. Wasn't there a change in characters, or there was something that was left out because of the lack of money?
It was two things that would change. One, they left out a big, like, fight scene at the end with the guns and stuff.
That's right.
They cut that, like, last
forgot
cut.
His guns.
So they saved that. And then two, they didn't have Cannonball in there because the effects would have been too much.
Okay. That would have been pretty... Is there a better way of getting around the budget, though? By, like, just having your main hero forget all his weapons in a taxi?
I mean, it's perfect because... You know? I mean, it worked on a meta level, and it worked in a movie level, because it's kind of like the action was good in it, but it was never like, you know, I'm watching a movie for the action. I'm watching a movie for, like, the other stuff. Like, the traditional superhero stuff they did was kind of like the boring part of the movie. It was all the other stuff that made that, you know, what it was. I mean, like, if they had a bigger budget, it's going to have a bigger budget anyway, because they're going to have more people. Like, if you're going to have Cable and Domino in there, especially Cable, then yeah, like,
the budget's going to have to be bigger.
Because,
I mean,
you know, depending on how you want your Cable, like, it's, you're doing more stuff. So you're having more people. So, yeah, the budget being, like, instead of in the 50s, like the 70s, the 80s, it'll be just fine. But him, it sounded like he wanted to do a regular comic movie.
You know, it'd be funny. You could get around Cable, too, by making him wear a shirt or a jacket or a sweatshirt or something. And even make fun of it. So, like,
that'd be such a kind of, like, don't you have a metal arm? Like, what are you talking about? And he had, like, a glove on his other hand.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The way you can get around it, and with the humor of the character in the movies, and just be like, well, I guess our budget didn't allow for you to take your sweatshirt off, or just something like that. You know, just these jokes may get kind of tired pointing out the deficiency in the budget, but it's not, the character kind of has to address it, so... I don't know. Regardless, it comes out, what, 2 years? I think? Something like that? So we got plenty of time. Before we get out of here, though, real quick, did you realize they haven't even started filming Black Panther until next Monday?
I mean, it'll come out for a while, so...
The way they kept making all these casting predictions, not predictions, casting reveals, director, writers, all that, I thought they were a couple months into it already.
I mean, you just think about, like, they've been making all these casting things, but it was right before they started filming. So it's kind of like, it wasn't like, you know, oh, such and such showed up on the set and is having to film a scene like Guardians of the Galaxy did. Oh, Kurt Russell, he just showed up and did that. Like, it's like, no, they got everybody. And then, because Marvel's like, we have a Marvel plans things to the, you know, the millisecond. Like, we know exactly what we're doing. And if we have to make adjustments because of director change, we can make the adjustment. Like, we have our schedule and we will make our schedule work. It never feels like they're just flying by the seat of the pants. So I never worry about, I'm at the point where I give them the benefit of doubt until they prove me wrong. Because they are well, especially these days, they know exactly what they're doing and how to make money.
Well, yeah, I'm not, no, don't get me wrong. It's not a question. I was surprised that it hadn't started filming. I thought it was already underway. But I also underestimate how quickly they can make a movie now. Because sometimes these shoots used to be a year, then they come back for reshoots, and they're, you see people, what is it, they already wrapped Justice League, and that comes out, I think that's next year, isn't it? Yeah. Wonder Woman, then Justice League is next year, I think. And I would have figured a movie like as big as Justice League is would take a year to make, but not now, at least. So that was all. I was just surprised. Because, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, that comes out next year as well, which I'm, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stuff that comes out. Spider-Man comes out. Thor comes out.
I'll be curious about Spider-Man. So
I'm thinking that's going to be the first Spider-Man that breaks $1 billion. Is what I'm thinking. And it's kind of like, it's funny, like Spider-Man was always Marvel's A1 thing, and it was like the first big movie that kind of like set it. Like, it was movies that were out before that, like Blade and X-Men, but Spider-Man was the one that's kind of like, oh, we can make a truckload amount of money off Spider-Man. And those Sam, like the first two Sam Raimi movies, like,
yeah,
like the on the like the godfathers of comic movies, especially the second one. Like, people say top five, that second Spider-Man movie will be in there somewhere. So,
oh, yeah.
But and even like the two amazing Spider-Man movies, people like it's forgettable, and the second one was trash. Those movies made a boatload of money, like a lot of them. So imagine when Marvel gets to do it, and we get to throw Iron Man in, and we get to have the whole Marvel universe, like. Like, it's like you have finally have that toy, and you have somebody who knows what the hell they're doing finally has that toy. It's like, it's different when you had, you know, 35-year-old Tobey Maguire running around pretending to be Spider-Man, or you have Jamie Foxx wearing raggedy pajamas in a Spider-Man movie. And now, you know, Rosemary Harris was a nice Aunt May, but Sony had her and Sally Field, and Marvel has Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, like, it's just a whole thing. Like, you know, Sony had Christian Dunst, and Marvel has Zendaya that looks like a damn supermodel. Like, they have a bigger budget, more money, and more skills to make Spider-Man how Spider-Man should be. So I think that movie's going to do gangbusters, especially because people love Spider-Man and Civil War.
And that's where I was going, was I think the introduction to Civil War was good. Also, we're not going to get an origin movie, thank God. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up Amazing Spider-Man 2, and domestically, it didn't do well. It only made $202 million. Foreign box office, though, $506.
Yeah.
So over here, it was considered a flop, but...
Which is hilarious. Yeah. A movie that makes $200 million domestic was considered a disappointment, where if you break three, that's almost like pinnacle level. It's funny where... I don't know. It's funny, like, I guess it's all about matter of expectations. Like, you know, because it's like Spider-Man should make more. Because it's like,
yes.
Suicide Squad made more domestic than the Spider-Man movies did. And who would have guessed that?
Oh, you know why? Okay, so here's why that was considered a flop here. The production budget was $255 million.
Ooh.
The marketing budget was $180 million.
So you're talking close to
almost half of the
billion?
Budget. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep. That's like, why.
And meanwhile, Sixers are up 10-2 in Oklahoma. See, I start recording the game. I want to see Joel Embiid. Like, imagine you had a Christmas gift and you couldn't open it for 2 years. Like, yeah, they drafted him 2 years ago, and he was hurt. and then he got hurt again, and now he's finally playing and playing well. It's like, yeah, he could be Hakeem Olajuwon on steroids. You just got to wait for him to play. Like, that's been a tough wait, but they're already up 10-2. But no, like, the Golden Spider-Man, that's a lot.
Well,
that's a lot of damn money to spend.
Yes. Yeah, first of all. So I'm guessing that's why they were like, forget it. Well, it's like, okay, how about you just make a lower budget movie and don't try and slap Spider-Man onto every single bit of a fruit roll-up that you see. I mean, the marketing stuff, as long as your movie's good, but it's not like there was a lot of hype coming out of the first one, because people didn't really care for the first one all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, so I knew there was a reason that it was considered a flop, because when I saw $709 million, like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, when you spend close to $500 million, then it ain't a lot of money anymore.
Yeah.
So
I do have Lucha Underground on. I won't spoil anything, but somebody comes back this episode. So
okay, Turner bought the rights to show them in Germany. So that's something.
Showed what rights for whose?
Lucha Underground.
Oh wow! Well, yeah. The Germans want to watch it. All right.
I mean. Remember how big TNA was in Europe, and it was like, yeah. how are they getting 5,000 people to watch them in Scotland? Like,
well,
I guess, like, that used to be amazing when TNA used to seem like a big deal when they went overseas, and then they wrestled in front of 100 people. But no, to go back to Spider-Man, like, that movie's going to do well, and they have the secret weapon. They got Robert Downey Jr.
Yep. they got that Marvel name and Robert Downey Jr. in it.
It's
so.
Like, it says a lot, like, yeah. You know, people say, like, Marvel's like, the movie makes the guy, not the other way around. He's the exception, because Iron Man 3 is the only... Iron Man 3 made $1 billion. You put him in a Captain America movie, it made over $1 billion. It's like, that's why he can say, yeah, throw me in a movie, if you pay me $40 million, because they like, yeah, I'll pay you $40 million, so my movie that might make $700 million, make $1 billion too. Like, that's good math. I do that all day long.
And that's why he's getting paid. So, real quick before we get out, last thing. You mentioned TNA, and I thought about that today. Remember, TNA used to run live shows in arenas. I was at one. They can't fill a sound studio now. That is remarkable to me that it fell apart that fast. You know, you know, people complained it wasn't good, but people at least went to it. And I know a lot of the crowds were papered, whatever else, but at least it was full. You know, they were at the Bilo Center. They sold out. No, I'm sorry. No. They sold or papered enough to have that place more than half full. That's pretty good, considering you can't fit 300 people in somewhere now. And it's kind of sad. Like, I was, you know, it was fun making fun of them, but I even put a tweet out, like, you know, this would be fine if it wasn't for the fact that there's a lot of people's livelihoods on the line here. That these dummies just don't understand that. But so the verdict comes in Monday, which I'm sure we'll cover on Stunt Granny next week. The Stunt Granny audio show. So
yeah.
It's just on TNA, that note, let's wrap
like,
it up.
Yeah, I would say this about TNA.
Thanks for listening,
like,
everybody. And again, the upload problem is now fixed, so your subscriptions work. So you should be getting OPA. Us, we watch stuff, and the flagship show Stunt Granny, which is a rotating cast of characters when people don't fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night. So, I'm Jeremy. Thanks for listening, and let Shahid take us out, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and rest in peace to TNA. We are out.